John's Gospel, chapter number 1. Continue on this morning in our journey through the life of Christ. Have you ever been speaking to someone and trying to make a point and you suddenly realize that the person you're talking to is totally missing the point that you're trying to make? It's kind of frustrating, isn't it? It kind of reminds me of David in the Old Testament. The prophet Nathan comes to him. We know that David has committed sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And Nathan gets into telling a story of a little ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man that was taken away by the rich man. And David got all incensed about the rich man in that story and pronounced a death sentence on him. And Nathan realizes that David has totally missed the point, and he points his finger at him and says, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And, you know, today I think there's a lot of folks who miss the point sometimes of some things that are going on. And we see here that, that I don't think John the Baptist missed the point. Here in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 15, he's talking here of John the Baptist. "So John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Speaking of Jesus. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Barbara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. You know, today there are many folks, even in church, who have missed the point that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to true joy and fulfillment in our lives. People are looking at all kinds of things. They think, well, if I can just make a little bit more money. And they look for that bigger job that brings more money. Or if I can just get to this stage in my life. And that stage in their life comes and they're still not satisfied. Some look to drugs. Some look to alcohol. Some look to other things. And look for satisfaction. Look for joy and fulfillment. But Jesus said that the abundant life came from Him. In John 5, verse 39 through 40, it says, Search the Scripture, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And that's true today. There are folks who won't come to Jesus. They're wanting an abundant life. They're wanting an eternal life. You would ask them, do you want to live forever? Do you want eternal life? Do you want to know that heaven would be your home? And I don't know if anybody says that want to go to hell. But yet Jesus said, you won't come to me that you'll have life. And that's true even today. And Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, I am come that they might not only have life. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so, you know, some folks miss the point that faith in Christ is the only way to true joy and fulfillment in this life. Also today, despite the clarity of Scripture on the subject, many seem to have missed the point that, you know, nobody goes to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. We live in a very politically correct world, you know, where people don't want to offend anybody. And consequently, there are folks who have backed off. They have soft-pedaled the issue of how does a person get to heaven? There's only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say he was a way, but yet even today, not only do lost people, but many who would claim to be saved, I have my doubts about their salvation. I'll tell you why in just a minute. But many claim to be saved, they think that, Jesus isn't the only way. Listen, friend, you can't get saved unless you realize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. If you think in your heart that there's more than one way, you're not placing your trust in Christ, really. Excuse me. I believe also, as well, that many believers have missed the point that it's our responsibility to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission was given to the disciples, and the Great Commission, we know, it was to be passed on and on and on. As you look at Matthew's Gospel and you see the Great Commission, they were supposed to not only win of the Lord and baptize Him and teach them, but they were to take and teach them all that Christ had taught the disciples. And what Christ taught the disciples was to see that folks get saved, baptize them, and teach them. It goes down to us. We're to take the gospel, preach the gospel to every creature, according to Mark 16:15. And as 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God was the one that came into the world reconciling men to Himself, but He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. They're not going to be reconciled unless we actually take that message of reconciliation to them. So this morning, as we continue looking at the life of Christ, we revisit somebody that we met just a few weeks back, John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist did not miss the point. John the Baptist knew what it was to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ. His whole ministry was about pointing folks to Christ. And before we talk about that, I want to give you just a brief review of some of the things that we've already seen in our study on the life of Christ. Remember, after Jesus' birth, He grew up in Nazareth. And at 12 years old, He visited the temple in Jerusalem, and He stayed behind because He needed to be about His Father's business. We know what His Father's business is, don't we? And it's a great thing to be about the Father's business. And when Jesus was about 30 years of age, John the Baptist began his ministry of preparing Israel for the appearance of Jesus. And he preached to folks and told them that the Messiah was coming, and because the Messiah was coming, they needed to get ready. And they needed to repent. And they needed to show that they repented by their works and their lives. And he was getting them ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then came what was possibly the pinnacle of John's career. He baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus from heaven in the form of a dove, and His Heavenly Father said from above, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And as we saw in the last two messages, we dealt with the temptation of Christ. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where through His temptation by Satan, He showed Himself to be sinless. Remember, Jesus, there was no possibility of Him sinning because He is God, and God cannot sin. But what the purpose of His temptation was to show, to manifest Himself as who He said He was, and that is the very Son of God. He showed Himself to be God in the flesh. Now, We see that this week Jesus is returning from the temptation, and he comes by to see John the Baptist. And it's here that John identifies him. He points to Christ as being the one that he's been preaching about. And in this passage, we see that John teaches us the point that evangelism, or directing people to Jesus, pointing folks to Jesus, should be a top priority on our list. In fact, John shows us how not to miss the point. And we will not miss the point if we understand three things that John understood. Number one, we need to understand who we are. You know, John the Baptist understood who he was. And we need to understand who we are. I think a lot of times we don't do what we know we should do as Christians because we don't understand who we are as Christians. Look at verse number 19. He says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" Now, we've got some other folks that are asking here, who is this John? You know, John the Baptist had a tremendous impact on Israel, perhaps baptizing as many as 300,000 people, it's believed. And if anybody could have an ego as a preacher, John the Baptist could have had an ego, but he didn't have, did he? He didn't look at himself as being anything. There are places in the Gospel of John where the word Jews refers really to the religious leadership in Jerusalem. And because of the impact of John the Baptist's ministry, we see here that a fact-finding group was sent out to John. And John's ministry was not officially sanctioned by the religious leaders, so they wanted to know who he was. Now, whenever I got ordained, one of the questions that was asked me was, "Okay, Brother Jerry, if this ordaining council decides not to ordain you, what are you going to do then?" I said, "Well, God's called me to preach. I'm just going to preach." You know, that was John's attitude in the thing, John the Baptist's attitude. You know, he wasn't looking for the approval of men. He wasn't looking for the stamp of approval of the Pharisees. He was outside of the ministry. He was not officially sanctioned by the religious leaders. And so, you know, John's had such a profound impact, John the Baptist has, that they want to know who he was. And so we see in verse 20, it says, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he said, 'I am not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" Now, it's important to note that John the Baptist knew who he was. It's important that we know who we are if we're going to be effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John, in knowing who he was, knew who he wasn't. And, you know, there is a God, but you ain't him, and I ain't him, right? You ever heard somebody say that? Two things I know there is a God, and I know you and I are not him. And John the Baptist here, he knew who he was. First of all, he knew he wasn't the Christ or Israel's Messiah. He made it very clear that he was not the long-awaited Savior that was promised. Secondly, if John wasn't the Christ, they wanted to know, then was he Elias or Elijah? And what they're referring here to is the return of Elijah was promised in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, the Jews were looking for the actual return of Elijah himself. And John the Baptist was probably too. He didn't realize that he was the Elijah that was talking about. He came in the spirit of Elijah. In fact, Jesus said that John the Baptist was the one that came and fulfilled that actual passage of Scripture in Malachi, that he came in the spirit of Elijah. That John the Baptist, though, denied that he was Elijah, and John was also asked about being that prophet, and that was promised by Moses in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, where Moses said, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And again, John denied that being that prophet. John knew who he wasn't. And he knew that he was nothing compared to the one that he was laying the groundwork for. The world did not revolve around John the Baptist. Even though John the Baptist was a very popular preacher, and even though John the Baptist preached to many thousands of people, and had a profound influence, it was not about John the Baptist. the world revolved around the coming Messiah. And that's who John spoke of. John spoke of the coming Messiah and not of himself, because John was dead to himself. And understand that John the Baptist was not important in his own eyes to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was just a servant. And in fact, he talks about that so much there. It says in verse 27, he says, "He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." You know, we have so much going on in our lives and the lives of our children that sometimes we fail to think of doing the business that we're supposed to be doing. You know, we need to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." We need to listen to our own conversation and hear how much of our talk is about ourselves and how much of our talk is about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we see that the last thing in the world that John wanted was for men to look at him. He says later in John 3:30, he says, speaking of Jesus, he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John wanted men to forget him and see only Christ. There in verse 22 and 23, look at what he says there. "They said unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He knew that his message, that his job was to point folks to where they needed to be for the arrival of the Lord, and to point folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. John wanted men to forget him and to see only Jesus. John wasn't the Messiah. John wasn't the Elijah. He wasn't the prophet. John was the voice in the wilderness of Israel's rebellion against God, and had rebelled against God for a period of years there. And he was calling, God was calling his people to make straight paths in their hearts for the Lord Jesus to come. John knew who he was. John knew that he was just the voice. If you're a child of God, listen, friend, you need to know who you are. You need to know that you are to be the voice crying out in today's postmodern culture that doesn't want to hear what we have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they need to make their path straight, because the Lord Jesus is coming again. Amen? He is coming again, just like He said He was. And if you've been saved, then Jesus has recruited you to be a voice. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in the othermost part of the earth." And as I said before, He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, how do you think that early church grew? It wasn't because just the apostles or pastors and missionaries shared the gospel, was it? It wasn't just because a few shared the gospel. It was because the people in the pews also shared the gospel. When you look through the book of Acts, you see the church was busy about doing the things of God. And John knew who he wasn't, thus knowing who he was. John knew he was the voice. And we need to not miss the point, my friend, that we are the voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to understand not only who we are, but we need to understand, second of all, we need to understand who we serve. John understood three things about the Lord Jesus that we need to understand so that we don't miss the point. Look at verse number 27. We serve Jesus, who is superior. See, John understood the superiority of Christ. He says, "He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me." In other words, he far exceeds me. He says, "I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoe latchet." And now, in the culture of that day, a disciple would do all the things that a servant would do except unloose the sandals of his master's feet. That was the lowest task that a servant did. And John understood that Jesus was preferred before him. And John understood that Jesus must always come first. And John understood how unworthy he was even to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in even the humblest of ways. You realize how unworthy we are, but yet the Lord uses us? Listen, we need to understand who we are. We serve Jesus, who is superior. Not only that, number two, look at verse 29. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, John here served Jesus, who is the Savior. And we need to serve Jesus, who is our Savior. Now, John is saying here, there He is. He's the solution to man's sin problem, to the world's sin problem. You want to know the solution. John calls Jesus the Lamb of God. And understand that the Jewish people were familiar with lambs and other animals being sacrificed for sin. The sacrifices were kind of like promissory notes, or they covered sin until God's true sacrifice for sin showed up. And Jesus was and is the only true sacrifice for sin. He alone, as the sinless Son of God, could pay for our sins. Nobody else could pay. And there's no other solution to the sin problem, and there doesn't need to be another solution. Jesus is adequate for each man, woman, boy, and girl's sins problem. Isn't that wonderful? He's the answer. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He only had to do it one time. And what He did was good for all eternity. I can't lose what I've got. I've got salvation, and I've got eternal salvation in the Lord. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, there's only one way to heaven, and Jesus died for your sins and mine. He was buried, and He rose again on that third day. And the one that trusts in Jesus Christ alone as Savior is the one who's going to heaven. Listen to what is said in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Yeah, it's just that simple, folks. Just that simple. Do you have Jesus? You know, John the Apostle reiterated it again in 1 John chapter number 5. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have the Son? Is He a part of your life this morning? And we see here, not only do we need to understand who we serve Jesus who is superior, and we serve Jesus who is Savior, but number three, we serve Jesus who is the Son of God. This isn't just anybody we're talking about here. Look at verse number 30. He said, this is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Look at this phrase, for He was before me. In identifying Jesus, John says that He is the one preferred before Him because He was before Him. John is referring to the preexistence and eternal nature of the Lord Jesus as God the Son. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's fully man, but He's fully God. And then we see, look at the verse number 31 through 33. He says, and I knew Him not, but that He should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him. And I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. See, that's one reason why Jesus was baptized. So that John the Baptist would know who to point folks to. That John the Baptist would recognize that this is the Savior. The Spirit of God had showed him that, you know, how you're going to know the Son of God is that you're going to see the Holy Spirit descending upon Him. At the baptism of Jesus, John saw the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove and abiding on Him. And this is the one who God had promised would baptize people with God's Holy Spirit. And only God can baptize with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so this is God in the flesh. And today every person who truly believes in Christ is baptized with, or we say baptized by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so John concludes there in verse number 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." John concludes, this is the Son of God. And if we're going to get the point that speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ is important, we need to understand who we serve. We serve Jesus, who is not only superior to us, and He's not only our Savior, but He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. And then we need to understand not only who we are and who we serve, but thirdly, we need to understand what to say. You know, John knew what to say to direct people to Jesus Christ. I think probably one of the biggest hindrances that people have in witnessing is they don't know what to say a lot of times. But it's very simple. It's very simple. And John knew what to say. I mean, he told them what happened to himself. He told of his own experiences concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He told people to get ready because Jesus is coming. And he told them to look to the Lamb that takes away their sin. I mean, those are three simple things that John did in his preaching and did in his life. He told them what the Lord had done for him. And they get ready because Jesus is coming. And then to look to Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so we need to follow John's example. Tell people what happened to you. You know, if nothing else, we ought to be able to tell folks how we came to know the Lord. Amen. You know, we all have a testimony if we're saved. You know, you have a testimony and I have a testimony. And you've heard my testimony, February 17th, 1971. You know, I got saved, gloriously saved. I was a lost church member. You know, I had made a false profession when I was about 7 or 8 years of age because nobody dealt with me properly down at the altar to tell me what I needed to do to get saved. But at this time, God had worked in my heart. God had stirred in my heart, showing me my need of salvation, showing me I was on my way headed to hell. And I cried out to Him, and He came into my heart and life and saved me. And what a wonderful thing that is. Each of us came, and you have a different testimony. You know, Paul gave his testimony. We dealt in Sunday school this morning about Paul's testimony in Acts chapter number 9, how he came to Christ as he was Saul at that time. But you see that Paul retells that story of what happened to him several different times in the book of Acts. He stands before kings. And he tells them what happened to him, how he knew he was saved, how God was working in his life. And listen, friend, we ought to know how we came to know the Lord, and we ought to be able to tell folks how we came to know God. Tell them that they need to get ready. I mean, that's very simple. Folks need to get ready because they could die. You know, every time you see an obituary, every time you hear of a death, especially the death of a young person, you know, that's an opportunity to point folks and say, listen, you know, you see that person that died the other day, that, you know, so that was so young, you realize you could die just like they did? You realize your life could be over just like that? There's not a one of us in here that are promised another breath or another heartbeat. And so it's incumbent upon us to get ready, to be ready for death. But not only that, Jesus may come at any time. You know, there's nothing that needs to happen in order for the Christ to come again. We refer to His coming as being imminent. That means He could come at any time. And I believe that very thing. He could come at any time. So the question is, are you ready? You better get ready because He could come in the next minute, next hour, next week. We don't know when He's going to come, but He could come at any time. And we need to take and tell folks the need to look to the Lamb of God who died for their sins. Tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus and be forgiven and saved. How that Christ died for their sins according to Scripture. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel. So listen, friend, have you missed the point? Are you so caught up in everything else that you have neglected sharing your Savior with others? Remember to get the point. Understand who you are. Understand who you serve. Understand what to say. And share the gospel with the folks. Listen, are you here this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, I never take it for granted. Folks that I've heard testimonies for years and years, I never take for granted that what happened to you was real. You know, you may be like I was. You know, I was in church, and folks thought I was saved. I thought I was saved for a number of years until I realized that, you know, I really didn't have it. I really didn't have salvation in my heart. Listen, never take for granted that somebody might be in the service that might be lost. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, look to the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can give you life. And we trust that you'll come today. We're going to have a hymn of invitation here right after I pray. And I'll be standing down front. If you need salvation, you come see me. If you need maybe to pray for yourself or pray for a loved one, the altars are open. Whatever God's spoken in your heart today, why don't you come in this invitation time. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you take these words, Lord, and use them in our heart and life. Help us not miss the point. Lord, the point that, Lord, you, who you are, and Lord, who we serve, and Lord, what we need to be sharing with others about you. God, I just pray that you might help us in our lives to be the witnesses that you'd have us to be. Lord, if there's somebody here today who you stirred to maybe in a particular area of their life or their walk, I pray that they would be obedient to you. Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, in need of salvation, help them to come. Help them see we're not the enemy. We're their friends. We want to be a help here this morning. We're not going to try to embarrass anybody. We'll take them, have somebody take them apart in private and show them privately from God's Word how they can be saved. And Lord, it'll be the best step they ever took. And we thank you for salvation. And Lord, what it means in our own personal lives, those of us that are saved. And Lord, help us to transfer that joy to others. To not only show the joy, but Lord, to tell of the joy to others that are around us, the lost and dying world. Have your will and way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.